And I want you to think this morning, and particularly the boys and girls, to think really carefully. What do you need to grow really, really well? What do you need to grow really, really well? Any ideas? Now, I'm a little bit deaf, so you're going to need to speak right up. Sherlyn? Brilliant. You need food and water. That's exactly right. Anything else? Food and water? That's one. Anything else that will help you grow? Reuben? Say again. Sleep, that's true, quite right, sleep. So that's at one end. You need food and water, you need sleep. Something else you need to help you grow really well. Yeah, Leland? We'll come to that in a minute. You're quite right, and that's the obvious answer, the Bible, isn't it? But something else, before we get to that, Sophie. Brilliant, exercise, that's what I had in mind. So you need food and water, you need sleep at one end, you need exercise at the other. And Leland has already got it for us. You need real wisdom. You need truth. You need the Bible. Now, when it comes to food, I thought I'd pull out some examples. And that's where the kind of pretend Weetabix comes from. The kind of things that go in our mouths and into our tummies. And put your hands up if you like Weetabix. Okay. Obviously, we like it in our house. I don't know, but I can't tell the difference between this and the branded one. So I'm just saying. And this is about a third the price. Put your hands up if you like chocolate fingers. Great. Okay, that's quite nourishing as well, I think. Put your hands up if you like honey. More hands have gone up for that than chocolate fingers. How bizarre. Okay. And there's one more. To be honest, I just went to our cupboard. Put your hands up if you like pasta. Okay. So what happens with all of that food? It goes into our tummy, and in an amazing way that I think is a kind of a miracle, God has made us so that the good things of the food get taken out, and they go to build muscle and skin and bone and teeth and hair and eyes. And it's just a miracle how we grow because of the food that we put inside of us. And we grow really well if we've got proper food. But put your hand up if you've ever been hungry. Yeah? Yeah? Some of the teenagers are hungry all the time. My youngest is home from university. I'm not going to tell you. He's just hungry all the time. What do you do when you're hungry? What do you need to do? Yeah? Go on. You need to eat. That's exactly right. You need to eat. In fact, when you're hungry, it's the obvious thing to do, isn't it? You've got an empty tummy, you put food in. And of course, sadly, in our world, there are some people in difficult places that know what it's like to be hungry all of the time. And that's really hard. And thankfully, here in this country, we don't know very much about that, and we're very grateful for the fact that there is always food available one way or another. But to be hungry for food means that you have an empty tummy, and it's all kind of rumbly, and you're not growing properly, and if you're anything like me, you get a bit of a headache when you're hungry, and very strangely, you start to feel sick. Does anybody else feel sick if you're hungry? I don't really understand how that works, but maybe some of the doctors can explain. It's just all kind of, and the more hungry you are, the more you just don't grow and everything. It's horrible. Horrible being hungry. You know, in some countries where the weather has been really hot and not very much grows, there can be times when there isn't much food, and we call that time a famine. And then the people in those countries need help from other countries to get food so that they can keep growing and survive. Food is really, really important. But today is Sunday School Gift Day, and we haven't been giving the children food. We've been thinking about needing something else to grow, being hungry for something else that isn't food. And I mean, well, Leland's already said it for us, being hungry for something that if we don't have it, it doesn't leave us with a gnawing, rumbly feeling in our tummy, that's true. And it does leave us sometimes with a bit of a headache. Because if you don't have the thing that we really need to grow, the wisdom that we need to make the right decisions, to know the difference between right and wrong, and good and bad, if we don't have the wisdom to know, well, how we were made and how to use what we made, then it gives us a headache because we don't know which way to turn. It's really common that people are hungry for God's word. Actually, it was described in that very first reading this morning that Lucy and Finn brought us so helpfully. Can we pull up the verse? Oh, yeah. No, go back, go back. You're going to steal all the thunder. Okay, oh, if it just comes up as one, just let it come up as one. So the first, no, not that, go back. Is it not, we're not going to have that first slide? We're not going to have that first, no, don't show that. You know they say animals and children? Computers are the other one. Let me read to you the first verse that Lucy and Finn read to us. They read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Listen. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. That is, if you want to grow properly, you don't just need food, you need wisdom. Wisdom is all of those things that help us know what to do and what not to do, who to trust and who not to trust, what to believe and what not to believe. Wisdom is really important for us to grow. And then the very next verse, or two verses that I asked to be read this morning, were Irene beautifully read them to us from Psalm 1. Let me read it to you, the first psalm in the middle of the Bible. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. That means he thinks day and night. Then it goes on to say, that person who has that wisdom is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. In other words, people who get God's word and read it and take notice of what it says, they grow really, really well. It's like they've had the very best Weetabix ever. And they're growing really well. These two are very similar. This one makes your body grow. This one makes your soul grow. And you just thrive if you take notice of what it says. In fact, it was the Lord Jesus who quoted the Old Testament and said this: man, human beings, shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So to grow really well, we don't just need food, we need to hear what God has to say. Now, I want to tell you the story of a young man who grew up growing really well when he heard God's word. And that's where the pictures come in. I don't know, are we going to be able to play any of them? Huh? Brilliant. Okay. I want to introduce you to an older lady. Back in the time of the Lord Jesus, after he'd returned to heaven, there was a lady called Lois. Now, Lois loved God. She wanted to know him. She grew loving him. And of course, though she only read the Old Testament, she also liked to read the Bible. Can we pull up the next one, Harvey? No, go back. It doesn't want to do it. Okay, so, this is really irritating. There we are. Well, next, give me the picture of Lois again. Yeah, that's the one. Next to Lois, in that picture, should be a Bible, okay? And Lois grew reading God's word. Let me tell you some of the things that Lois read. She wasn't hungry to hear what God had to say because she could read God's word for herself. It wasn't in this shape. It was a scroll, and she would read it like this. But Lois wasn't hungry. She didn't have an empty soul for what God had to say. She could read it for herself. She didn't guess which things were right and which things were wrong because she can read it from God's word for herself. She wasn't hungry. She didn't guess. But she did wonder whether or not she would go to heaven when she died. And the reason she did is because although she could read in the Bible that God would one day send a promised rescuer to rescue her, she knew that rescuer hadn't come yet, and she was looking forward to the day. Well, one day, Paul and Barnabas came to the town in which she lived. There we are. That's the picture I'm after, okay? Thank you. Well, let's just hold it there for a minute, okay? One day, Paul and Barnabas... Concentrate on that side of the slide for a minute. One day, Paul and Barnabas came to the town in which she lived. And they said to her, as they opened up the Bible, they said to her, listen, they said, God has finally sent a rescuer in the Lord Jesus. He takes all the things that the Old Testament said would happen, and they've come true in him. And he was born in Bethlehem, and he grew up to be a man, and he died on the cross, taking the punishment for all the wrong things you've done, and I've done, and we've done, and people have done. And then he rose again from the dead, and we've come to tell you that you can put your trust in a rescuer who has come. And Lois was absolutely thrilled to bits. She knew finally all the promises that God had promised were coming true. So she didn't wonder what would happen when she died anymore, because she could read for herself how it all had come true in Jesus, and she became a Christian and put her trust in him. Now, all those things that our Sunday school have been learning over these last few months about creation, about Adam and Eve, about Genesis, and then about Noah and the ark and Moses leading the people out through the Red Sea and into the promised land, and David and a king promised to be on his throne forever, and how Micah said it, the rescuer would be born in Bethlehem, and Isaiah said that he would die on a cross. And all of those things have come true in the Lord Jesus. She could read them for herself. But Lois had a daughter. And that's the next picture on our slide. I don't know whether she looked like that really. But let's take a guess that Lois's daughter was called Eunice. And as Eunice grew up, so she had all the same sorts of questions. Now, we don't know whether it was Paul who shared the same gospel good news with Eunice, or whether it was Lois who shared the gospel good news with Eunice. But we do know that Eunice heard the same good news and came to trust the Lord Jesus for herself. Remember, Lois wasn't hungry to hear God's word. She could read it for herself. And Eunice wasn't hungry to hear God's word because she could read it for herself too. Eunice didn't grow up guessing what things were right and what things were wrong. Her mum, Lois, showed her from God's word and encouraged her to read it for herself. So the Bible told her, God told her, what things were right and what things were wrong. And Eunice, unlike Lois, didn't grow up wondering what would happen, whether she would go to heaven when she died. Because Eunice understood that the rescuer had come. It was very exciting. As she put her trust in the Lord Jesus for herself, having read about him in God's word, so she also became a Christian, and she could trust the future as she looked to the Lord Jesus. So both Lois and Eunice, as they read God's word, trusted the Lord Jesus. Well, after a little while, Eunice had a baby boy. And his name, does anybody know, was? Well, I'll tell you, his name was Timothy. And that's this guy, he's a grown-up now, on the right. Well, Timothy didn't grow up hungry to hear what God had to say. His gran and his mum told him and could encourage him to look at God's word for himself, which is what he's doing in our picture. Timothy didn't grow up guessing what things were right and what things were wrong. His gran and his mum could encourage him to look in God's word and find out what things were right and what things were wrong and what God had intended for himself. And he did it, and he understood, and they showed him. And Timothy didn't grow up wondering what the answer was, where he would go when he died. Because Timothy was shown from the Bible how all of God's promises to send a rescuer had come true in the Lord Jesus. And all he needed to do was ask the Lord Jesus to forgive him and save him. knowing Jesus had taken the punishment for his sin on the cross. And Timothy eventually himself grew up and put his trust in the Lord Jesus and became a Christian. It's very exciting that Timothy became a Christian. Because a few years later, Paul came back to the town of Lystra where these guys lived. And Paul found that Timothy was one of those guys that really enjoyed reading the Bible, but not just that. He really enjoyed sharing it with others. And Paul said, hey, listen, why don't you come with me on some of the journeys that I'm making around the world, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus with people who don't know it? Well, that's exactly what Timothy did. And we can move to the next slide now. Thank you. And a few years later, Timothy found himself as the pastor of a church in a place called Ephesus. And Paul wrote him a couple of letters while he was the pastor in Ephesus. And in fact, the last letter that Paul wrote him was what the book that we now call 2 Timothy. It was the last letter that Paul ever wrote, it seems. Right at the start of the letter, Paul wrote this. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Hate him, said Paul. I've watched the good news of the Lord Jesus take root in your family, and 3 different generations of your family trust Jesus as their Savior and their Lord as they've read God's word. That's very exciting. It's not automatic that Timothy would become a Christian, but he had, and Paul was thrilled. Later in the letter, he wanted to write about how important it was for Timothy to keep on growing really well. Now, what do you think Paul told him to do to keep on growing really well? Boys and girls, what did Timothy need? I'll give you a clue. If he was going to go on growing really well, Henry? Wheat. Well, wheat, maybe. I don't know. I don't think he was gluten-free or something. Probably not. He certainly needed to eat, that's true. But what else would Timothy need if he was going to go on growing really well? I think there's a clue in the picture, actually. Yes, Joey. Exactly. He would needed to keep on reading the Bible. That's exactly right. Now, that sounds easy, doesn't it? But actually, back in Timothy's time, just like in our time, people say all sorts of things about the Bible that aren't true. They say that the Bible is wrong. They say that the Bible is lies. They say that the Bible is just made up stories and that it's all just a big lot of rubbish. Of course, for the grown-ups who really want to look into these things, actually, you can take the Bible apart. And what you find is the harder you go, the deeper you go, the more it stands up to that kind of test. So one of my favourite things to do is to go to the British Museum in London, and with a wonderful book called The Bible Guide to the British Museum. And you can walk around the British Museum and I want to say you can touch, you can't touch, you're not allowed to touch, but you can see things and almost touch some of the things that are described in the Bible, and that just exactly stand up really well. The Bible is not a load of rubbish and it's not just lies. But still, what Paul wrote to Timothy was this. Can we have the next slide, Harvey? This is the verse that Sherlyn read out. Hate him, as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What Paul means is for Timothy to keep on keeping on reading the Bible. He told Timothy, you know it's true, this precious book, and you know it works because you've seen people who you trust that it's worked inside of. You've seen your gran. You've seen how she became a Christian, how she loved God's word, and how she loves to teach it and share it, and how she really, even in tough times in Ephesus where you live, how she stuck to God's word because it's true. You've seen your mum, Eunice. You've seen how she loved God's word, even through those tough times when your dad wasn't particularly interested and his dad wasn't particularly interested. How actually she has continued to read God's word and just find real truth. And Tim, you've seen it in me. You've seen how God has changed me, how God's word works in me, how the Holy Spirit is at work in me so that I can know and love Jesus better and more. Ever since you were little, you've been taught the brilliant news from the Bible. So keep reading it because it'll lead you to know Jesus, and trusting him, you'll be certain of knowing God and certain of heaven when you die. Jesus has done everything to get you there. Paul wanted Tim to keep on keeping on with God's word because it would lead him to know and love the Lord Jesus. You know, everyone needs to thank the Lord Jesus for dying for them on the cross. Everyone needs to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive them because he took the punishment for their sin and to promise them heaven. Everyone needs to ask Jesus to save them. And I pray that all of us will do that, even if you haven't already. You know, I asked the Lord Jesus to save me when I was the same age as Finn. So it's completely possible for God to answer that prayer. And when you read the Bible, said Paul, it's brilliant to help you grow really well because it's God's word written down. Look at those last few verses there. Look at what it says there in verse 16. All scripture, all the Bible is God-breathed. This is God's word. This is the maker's instruction. And look what it's useful for. It's useful for teaching you how to grow. It's useful for rebuking you when you're doing the wrong thing. When you read the Bible and you're doing the wrong thing, you will find sometimes you'll read something and go, oh, that's just told me what I'm doing is wrong. It rebukes you. It will correct you when you're making a mistake and you need not to go slightly this way, but maybe a little bit more that way. And you read it and you think, ah, I see. What honoring God means is just doing that, not this. Okay. And it will train you. It will help you to know to live as God has meant you to live. It will teach and rebuke and correct and train you. Now, what's all of that got to do with Sunday School Gift Day? You may be wondering. Well, here's the exciting part. These books that you guys have been given are either directly all about what God has to say in the Bible, or some of the story ones will point you to how people have taken what has happened to God's word, the Bible, and put it into practice in their own lives, or it'll point you back to what the Bible has to say about how you should live. In other words, all the books that you've been given are gifts to help and encourage you to grow really well by finding real wisdom here that all points to the Lord Jesus. These books will point you back to the Bible, so you've been given them not to look at them and to decorate your shelf with them, and to know in 20 years that you had a Sunday school prize. You've been given them so that this afternoon you go home and you open them and you look at them and you read them, and maybe you get the grown-up who looks after you and ask them to help you read them too, so that you treasure them as you go to bed, so that you read them and you think about what they have to say as they tell you about the Lord Jesus. They've been given to you to help you grow really well. Because we grow really well when we have what our Heavenly Father God says. Remember Psalm 1, the person who does this is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Well, in the schedule of the diary of our church, we're scheduled this morning to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I nearly asked that this could be moved to the evening. But we're not going to move it to the evening. We're going to celebrate it together this morning because it reminds us again and again and again of the key message of the Bible, that Jesus has come to be our rescuer.